It's just a couple of minutes after 6 p.m., and we're just leaving the police station to start the night watch. Sergeant Perkins has stopped over here in the hall to talk with a little boy that evidently is lost. Let's check it out.
You want you to walk home from here?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you lived down here?
We just moved a couple weeks ago.
That's a long ways out. Tell you what, supposing you come with us and we'll take you home.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. What'd you come in the police station for? Did he tell you to come in here?
I didn't. My daddy said I got lost at somebody where I live and give him that note.
So you came on in here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Okay, you come with us. We'll take you home.
Okay.
You look at this?
Out the door. By the way, my name is Don Reed, a police recorder. You're going to ride with Detective Unit 5-6 tonight.
I'll get him back with him, okay, Sergeant?
Yeah, okay, Don.
As you ride with us, remember the people you hear are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
5-6 to 1, reporting in service. Starting mileage 6752, 6752.
401-25-610-4, 6:21 p.m., KMA 394, starting Night Watch. Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors, there is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch. Presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We switch you now to car 5-6 on patrol and your police recorder, Don Reed.
We're nearing this young fellow's home now. A quick recap. The boy was left at the theater by his parents. They didn't pick him up. Blonde hair, about 8 years old. Wide-eyed, riding in the police car.
On the right side?
Yeah.
Okay. 5-1 to 1, clear. Go ahead, move. 10-4, move.
Right in here?
Yeah, because there's a little statue in the window. There's a statue in the window. Then... Oh, yeah, that's my house right there.
Which one? Right back there?
Pink.
Okay.
We kind of overshot the house. Backing up a bit. Here we are. Small duplex. Up the walk. Sergeant has the little fellow by the hand. Door's unlocked.
Nobody home?
No, they said that they would be my dad's new one into Los Angeles for some business.
What time are they going to be back, son, do you know?
No.
Your mother with him?
Yes.
You're all by yourself then now, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Do you know any of these people next door or anything?
No, we just moved in 2 weeks ago. I haven't got...
You're going to be all right here by yourself?
Yeah. Go upstairs and read some funny books.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll tell the people next door to kind of keep their eye on you, okay?
Okay.
All right, well.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
8 years old. I'm afraid.
Police officer, may I talk to you a minute? Hello. I'm Sergeant Perkins from Police Department. We just brought the little boy home next door. His folks are not home. I wonder if you could kind of keep an eye on him just a little bit till his folks get back.
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Yeah, he's all by himself over there.
I'll let him stay overnight.
Oh, well, okay. They, apparently the folks have gone downtown to Los Angeles.
And was he down the theater?
No, he got out of the theater. I guess he got out a little bit early and came over to the police station.
Yeah, he's
here. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
He's a cute little fella.
Yeah, but he's too little to be out by himself. Mm-hmm. Have the Juno Bureau talk with his parents tomorrow.
U.S. 5th Unit Thermal at 2931 Evergreen on a code 8. Help control traffic. Control 1 to 5-6, come in.
5-6, go ahead.
Control 1 to 5-6, beam unit 5-4 at 1311 Donovan. 1311 Donovan. Investigate a possible assault team. 5-6, your call, code 2, KMA 39, Thornton.
5-6, roger.
Here in car 5-6, we're just cruising toward that code 8 or fire call. But at the moment, we're assigned to a possible assault case, so it looks like the fire will have to go by the boards as far as we're concerned. We've flicked on our red light, moving through the traffic a little bit faster right now. And off on the right, just a few blocks up ahead, I can actually see the fire that the other units are rolling on. It's in our direction, so we'll go fairly close. In fact, I can see the flames pouring up right now, and the entire area has been turned into daylight. It was more apparent as we were getting into the area. And looking over my shoulder, additional fire trucks are pulling up and are coming in directly behind us. Well, I can hear their sirens, so we'll just stand by. We've pulled over the curb to allow a big pumper truck to roll past us. They're rolling code 3. That's up where my car is. Get back on our call again. Sadly, that big fire truck stopped right here in the block just ahead of us. We're passing them now, and the firemen are jumping off the truck, attaching hoses. Appears to be a house and garage, and it's completely engulfed in flames. It's right next to a lumber yard, so you can see that the boys really have their work cut out for them. Looking back over my shoulder, the flames are silhouetting the trees and the buildings. It's a very weird picture. You know, Perk, when I was a kid, I used to chase fires all the time.
Listening to that description, I had a feeling you'd rather go to the fire than an arc call.
You could be right. There's 5-4 up ahead, swinging in behind one of our uniform cars. DeVoe. We'll all go in together. The only information, a possible assault has been committed. It's a duplex. Be the apartment upstairs. Door is open. Woman lying on the divan holding a towel over her face. Blood spattered. Uniformed officers will handle. We'll stand by in case of trouble.
Drinking a little, not too much.
Well, what was the start? What started it?
Oh, there's nothing started. I mean, this isn't the first time. I think it's a mental case, I think. It didn't say something.
Husband coming into the room.
Yes, it is. I think it is. I got a black eye. You hit me first.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I tell you it is.
How many times have you beat me up?
I ain't beat you up any.
Well, it's not the idea. Beating up who's beating up who.
That's right.
We're here mainly to keep peace.
Right.
But it ain't even safe for me to be around him, I'm telling you.
Well, what do you want, my money? Is that all you want?
No, I don't want your money. I just want you to treat me like something. I don't want it.
Husband took out a roll of bills and threw it in her lap.
It's going off. That's yours.
Something meant enough now.
Well, it's up to you. As I said before, if you want him to... arrested.
I do, because I have been beat on till I'm sick and tired of it.
We want to warn you that, however...
I do, as long as I can take it.
Let the officer finish. Let the officer finish what he's talking about, please.
It's up to you that when you appear, it'd be your word against his. I mean, we have no say in the matter whatsoever. I mean, it's strictly on your say-so. We'll assist you in placing him under arrest. But you will sign the complaint.
Well, how about this? We'll go over to the apartment and let him get his clothes. And just so I get an apartment and get the doors locked, that's all I ask.
You know you love me and you know I love you.
I know I do. I love you too much.
Well, all right, it's two ways we're married.
The point is that there's no reason for the police to be in something like
that's
this.
That's right.
But I have took this so many
you
times.
You didn't have a flower pot.
No, I did not. The flower pot is over.
Well, I've got a black eye to prove it. I don't know what you're hitting me with. You're hitting
you
me with
think I get a busted nose?
We're not going to stand up here and argue back and forth.
Yes, sir.
You've got a radio car tied up. You've got a detective unit tied up. We can be doing
that's
a lot more important
about
things. You listen to me just a minute. I'm talking. Just keep quiet a minute while I talk.
It's my wife, remember that?
I'm a police officer, and I happen to be in here like these officers are here investigating a complaint. Now we're going to see that there's peace and there's quiet. And she doesn't
I'm trying
have
to tell you what the deal is.
Just
she's afraid she's going to get hurt. She ain't. There ain't
just
no doubt about it. I mean, it's all right.
You just keep talking. You're going down the station. We'll talk about it down there. We're interested in that she doesn't have to live in any fear, bodily harm.
She doesn't.
I do.
Same thing with you people. Apparently, you both love each other. You just said you did.
Well, she loves me, though, believe me.
Well,
yeah, if I didn't, I wouldn't take it.
The only alternative the officers have here is either to take you in and book you or that you agree that nothing else will happen. It's up to you.
Well, I agree.
Well, I've heard that too much.
And if anything else happens, you can call
no.
them and they'll put me under the jail. I wouldn't treat you that way this time unless you smack me.
Oh, yeah, you make it look good for yourself.
I don't make it look good for nobody.
Well, why don't you take a motel or a hotel room
that's
tonight?
What I'm going to do.
I'm on
the
back of my phone. And you've been on, and I'm getting good and tired.
No.
I've tried to live with you 7 whole months, and this is when.
Another officer just came
tired.
Upstairs.
Let's
see what it's all about.
Another
fun
every day.
No one is calling you, Sergeant Martin Walter, on that fire call in Evergreen. It turned out to be arson. They want you over at the station as soon as possible.
Okay. We got another call. Will you stand by?
Hey, come in, man. In front of these officers, no kidding.
Okay.
What's that? Bill, if you don't need us, we're going back to the station.
Well, the officers have got them and pretty well squared away. Right now, we just got a call. So we'll have to hurry right on out.
Five, six to one, go ahead.
Patrol 1 to 5-6. If you're clear, 1019 and contact Sergeant Ward regarding arson investigation.
5-6, 10-4.
1019 means return to the station.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of a detective unit on its tour of duty. The people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. We switch you now to police headquarters, where an arson investigation is in progress, and to police recorder Don Reed.
We've been back here to the station for about an hour and a half, and the arson investigation is in full swing. Briefly, this is the information we have to the moment. The fire that we saw earlier tonight turned out to be arson. Consequently, a young woman has been arrested and is now detained here at the station. Sergeant Perkins is across the hall here working on some reports connected with... Coming down the hall now. The suspect, escorted by Detective Walter. Let's go on into the detective bureau where she'll be questioned.
We'll have to ask you some questions about this scene that happened.
Now, how long have you been married to your present husband?
Sitting at the desk, Detective Sergeant Ward.
You're legally married.
Here's the suspect. Young, early 20s, long hair streaming down her back.
I see you were legally married and you divorced.
Arms bruised. One eye nearly swollen shut.
Now, suppose you tell us what happened.
Hands trembling.
I don't know. I and my husband have been slapping me around.
Now, what time did that happen?
Early. Took me by the hair and drug me into the house and told me he was going to get even with me, so I knew I had to get out, so I guess I just got mad.
Is that when you set the fire, when you got mad, you mean? Was your husband in the house when you set the fire?
No.
He had left.
Mm-hmm.
Did, when he pulled you by the hair and pulled you into the house, did he strike you with his fist?
No, he just threw me down on the floor.
Just threw you down on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
And how long did this struggle take? How long was he there
just
at the house?
Just a minute, and he left.
Just a few minutes. In other words, mm-hmm. he pulled you in and
he
shouted
at
you. He
said he would be back, that's all, and he just left.
He said he'd be back?
Yes.
Is that when you set the fire?
No. First, I didn't know where I was going to go because I knew when he came back that he'd be drinking a lot and he'd probably really beat up on me. As soon as I finished dressing the baby and I had warmed her a bottle, when I was all ready so that I could take her right out, I just walked in and set the fire in the house and then I left.
Where did you set the fire in the house?
In the closet in the bedroom.
What did you use to start the fire?
Just the paper I always keep in, the newspapers. After we read them, I just keep them stacked in there.
You just lit a match to them?
Yes, that's right.
Did you pour any gasoline or anything like that in there?
No, nothing.
Were there any clothes hanging in the closet?
Yes.
Now, after you'd set the fire, where did you go from there?
I went to the railroad tracks. I was waiting for the bus and it didn't come, so I walked across the street and asked the service station fellow how long it would take it. He said anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. And I walked back over and I seen the squad car go by. So I walked up the street to the restaurant and I went in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked for a bottle of beer there and I sat there. And the minute I got in, everybody started running out saying there was a fire then. And I came back out and went back up to where the house was.
Now, when the people ran out and when they heard the fire trucks and so on and so forth, did you walk back to the house again?
Yes.
And were you at the house when the police arrested you there?
Yes. They didn't arrest me. They just brought me down here because I told them I didn't do it until we got here.
Uh-huh.
And they started thinking my husband did it, so I told them I did it.
What happened to your eye? You have a shiner there?
Mm-hmm. He hit me.
That your husband hit you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you hurt any place else besides the eye?
Just bruises.
Uh-huh. How about the furniture in the house? Is that your furniture or did you rent the place furniture?
It was our furniture, but there was... What was in there was nothing. We didn't have no living room set. We didn't have nothing. In fact, he hated the place. He wasn't going to stay. The doctor told me if I didn't get the baby out, that place would kill her.
Uh-huh. Have you ever set any fires before?
Yes.
When was that?
I was probably 14, 15.
What brought about that? How'd that happen?
Just the house we lived in.
Didn't like the house?
No.
Have you ever been arrested for anything?
No.
Never been arrested? Not even for drunk or anything like that?
No.
You smoke?
Yes.
Want a cigarette?
Thank you.
Now, you feel that the reason you set the fire was so that you could get
There's
the baby out of the house or because you were mad at your husband?
It just seemed like he kicked me around and hurt me so much I had to do something to hurt him back.
In other words, you feel that you set the fire in order to hurt him. In order to more or less retaliate for what he had done to you earlier in the evening.
Not just in the evening. I wish it had only been that long. It's been this way for months now. Always smacked me around and I'm not big enough to fight him back.
Why, after your divorce, why did you go back
there? I've always loved him. He treated me real good. We got along real good until he started hanging around with his mother and father and then drinking like a fish. Till liquor came to our house, we got along perfect and he knows it.
Do you still love him? Do you feel now that you're still in love with your husband?
Yes.
In other words, he's a good husband when he's not drinking.
He's perfect when he's not drinking.
Is he an alcoholic? Is he chronic? Is he drunk?
I'll put it this way. Saturday, he drank a quart of whiskey. To me, a quart of whiskey was a lot of whiskey. The next day, he drank a quart of whiskey. The next day, he drank a quart of whiskey. And all the time, there was no money coming for nothing else. And he quit drinking. He's fine. He'll do anything for his kid. He loves her. Mm-hmm. The baby comes first, but then when he gets drinking, he don't care about nobody.
Mm-hmm.
He can't go and get custody of the baby now while I have to stay here.
I don't think so. How about your mother and father? Does your father work?
Yes.
And your mother and father live together?
Yes.
Will she take care of the baby for you?
Yes.
Well, that'll probably be what they'll do, is let your mother have the baby to take care of it.
Don't you set up a bail for me or nothing?
Yeah, tomorrow. I can't think of anything else.
How much is my bail going to be, could I ask?
Probably be around $1,000, I imagine.
So what does that come when they go to a bail bond?
Probably about $100.
Yeah, runs around 10%. You want to call now?
I would like to.
Okay, why don't you take her in the test officer's office in there. She's going to make a phone call, or upstairs in Holly's office, either one. Okay, we'll see you again.
The suspect is slowly leaving the room. Let's go over next door to Sergeant Perkins' office, see if there's any new developments in the case. Hi, Perkins. Anything new?
No, it's pretty much open and shut case.
What about the husband?
Nothing we can do. She won't sign a complaint. Unless she's changed her mind and it was Ward.
No, she says she still loves him. Which reminds me, you know, there's something missing out of this thing. I'd like to talk with her.
Go ahead. I got to finish the report here anyway.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Good deal. See you later.
Right.
Here she is, sitting in the detention room prior to being returned to the cell, standing against the bars, staring into space, cigarette burning in her hand. Do you feel like talking to me for a few moments?
Yes.
Just as an observer during your interrogation, there are a couple of things I've been wondering about. I noticed you told the sergeant you'd started fires as a youngster. Why?
When I was young, my folks always drank, and my father used to always beat on me. We lived in a real, real bad dump, and he always promised to get us out of it. He was going to always take us away. But he didn't, so I decided one day I'd bring the house down so that we could move out of it anyway. But I didn't start big enough fire to hurt the house.
Why'd you use fire?
The only thing I thought of.
Did you derive any pleasure by lighting fires?
No.
What did you think when you went back to your home and found it burning?
It was already burnt completely. Everything was gone when I got back. First thing I thought about was I actually hadn't hurt him, I'd hurt the baby.
Yeah. How long have you lived with your husband?
I've only been with him now going on 3 years. We were married 9 years ago, and we had a little girl, and my husband wouldn't take care of her either. And then she died, and he wouldn't pay her funeral bill, wouldn't come to the funeral. He didn't even send her a flower.
I noticed that you said you still loved your husband. Well, to be honest, I don't understand that kind of love.
I'll be truthful with you. I don't even understand the kind I've got. It destroys me. It makes me do things that I want to do.
What does he make you do?
It's just like every time he beats me up, I just want to go out and do something to destroy him. I've even thought about killing him when the gun was in the house. Last night, I was going to shoot him the minute he walked in the door. I hated him for always leaving me alone. No man's worth a beating. I don't care who they are. Once they beat you, they're just not worth it. They're not worth staying around. They're not worth trying to make a home for them. I loaded the gun once.
Had he come back tonight, do you think you would have killed him?
I don't know. Well, I'm going to have to pay for it now anyway. It wasn't my house I burnt down. It was somebody else's house I burnt down. And my landlord always treated me nice. Actually, I did him dirty. My husband didn't get nothing out of it. He beat me as he walked around the streets free. And I'm the one who wound up paying for all of it.
What you have just heard is real. Recorded as it happened on the Night Watch. For the disposition of this case, we return you to Police Headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's first case is the type of police work that is seldom realized by the average citizen. The family dispute was settled when the wife refused to sign a complaint against her husband, so the event was entered into the records as advised. No further action necessary. The final investigation of the arson case resulted in the arrest and subsequent trial of the young woman suspect charged with arson, which is a violation of the Penal Code, Section 447A, and carries a maximum penalty of 20 years in the state penitentiary. As an added note, the young woman suspect declined to sign a complaint against her husband, which left us powerless to take any action against him. In the past 20 years, we as a nation have made great strides toward maintaining our national security both internally and externally. Night Watch is part of that pattern. These events are real. The problems encountered by the officers are real. If we succeed in alerting the nation of this real work being done by your law enforcement agencies, and tighten the cooperation between the citizen, then we have the reason for presenting Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have just heard on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of your police department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hedlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and as described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.